Today is September 27th, 2018, and this is episode number 481 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin. And all I ever wanted to be was a woolly muffler around your naked neck. Double wrap me when it's cold.
You know, the problem with this not being a video show is people are missing out on me dancing right now.
Of course, it pantsless. So it might be okay. It might be for the best.
When you put it that way, it might be for the best.
Might be for the best. Might be for the best.
Yeah. Hey, did you know we have sponsors?
Ooh, that kind of makes the point of the show. Do tell, please.
LinkedIn Jobs and Molecule.
Oh, that works. This all checks out.
Yep, totally checks out. I've got the list and it all checks out.
So all checks out. This is good stuff. All right. Well, I look forward to talking about them later.
Mm-hmm.
Before we talk about, however, the sponsors. The last time we talked about Apple Watch Series 4 was on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I'd had mine for 2 days. I guess you'd had yours for 3 days at that point.
Oh, right. Yours showed up late, right?
Like, yeah, mine showed up by day. It was delayed by day. Yeah, flew from Kentucky to from Anchorage to Kentucky to Anchorage to Kentucky. So I was pretty excited about that.
Oh, I bet. I mean, Anchorage is a pretty neat place.
It is a fascinating place, and I'd love to actually spend some time there. But you know, I don't want my Apple Watch spending too much time there without me.
Yeah, no, I get it. Anchorage is beautiful.
Anchorage, yeah, sure. Have you been there?
Yeah.
What did you, I'm assuming you had a job there that I don't know about.
No, actually, I didn't.
You were there as a tourist?
Yeah. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Sorry, no job there.
All right. Well, fair enough. So I feel like I'm going to learn about a new job at some point. Like, it's just like it's. I mean, it's been weeks since I've heard about some job you had.
Yeah, so it's probably about time. You'll find, I'm sure there will be something that comes up in conversation and you'll be like, wait, what?
Exactly. All right, so since Monday, we've had an eternity. It's been an entire 3 more days because this is Thursday. We're recording a day late this week.
Right.
So it's been three more days. So I've had my Apple Watch for 5 days, which is 2.5 times longer than the last time we talked about it on TDO.
Right. So
and twice as long for you.
Yeah. So that's like an order of magnitude of long, right?
Yeah. Yes. Let's go with that. That sounds about right. So here's the deal. First of all, I'm still just like, I gaze adoringly at my wrist.
Well, you did that anyhow.
You
have really nice wrists.
No, I really, really don't.
Have I been gazing at? Because this is about to get awkward.
It might have been yours because yours is the hand and wrist that's always on the site.
Oh, I bet that's it. Oh, look at that. Yeah, those. I do have nice wrists. You're right.
You do. So I gaze adoringly at my wrist as long as the iPhone's my Apple Watch is on it. I've also been like grabbing it like the very first thing in the morning. And sometimes like if you know, I'm 51, maybe I get up to pee in the middle of the night. And if my Apple Watch is charged, maybe I'll put it on and go back to bed. True story.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. My Apple Watch, and hopefully this isn't too much information for people. When I go to bed, my Apple Watch does not go into the bedroom with me. I have my charger on my desk in my office, and so I leave as much of my communication technology outside of my bedroom as I can.
Oh yeah, okay, fair enough. That's actually pretty smart. Two main reasons why I'm constantly looking down at my wrist and gazing adoringly. One is just how much bigger the display is. Mm-hmm. Right. We talked about that on Monday. Number two is I so love the, you know, mega complication face.
You know, there's a lot of people that are totally loving that one. And now I'm forgetting what it's called.
I don't remember. Does it have a name?
It does. Hold on, I can tell you because I have it. I'm just not using it at the moment. It's the Infograph.
Is it?
Yes, it's called Infograph. I'm looking at the word right now.
Yeah, there it is, right there, Infograph. Mm-hmm. There's also the Infograph Modular.
Right, and Infograph Modular offers a couple less complication spots, and it gives you a digital instead of analog clock.
Right. So on Monday's TDO, you said that you had rejected that face, Infograph face.
Yes.
And I said, you know, hey Jeff, try it. Like, give it more of a chance. I'm really enjoying it. And so my question to you is did you do that in the 3 days since?
I did. I used it for another day, and then I switched back to my custom-made face. Mm-hmm.
All right. I didn't expect you to actually do it. Hey,
you asked me to, and for science, I did.
Okay. So, but you went, but you don't like, what's wrong with you? What do you mean you didn't like it? You went back to the other one?
I went back to the one that I made, which is based on the utility watch face. And I've been thinking about it. And initially, I was thinking, you know, it's too busy. There's just too much data all right there, and it's too much color all splashed around. And but it occurred to me a few minutes ago what it really is that I don't like about the Infograph watch face.
Okay,
it's that I felt obligated to put something in every single complication point.
Okay.
And I didn't need stuff. I was putting things in just to put them there, not because it was relevant information to me. And when I try taking stuff out, I'm basically stripping it down to what I already use, which is the customized version of the utility watch face.
Well, thing to me, when I first set it up, I was fiddling with it a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, for one thing, I tried the white one for a few hours.
I didn't like that one.
I wanted to like it, but did not like it. Ended up going back to the black face, which sounds awful, but anyways, the black face, which is has the white ticks. Mm-hmm. white text, white ticks. And I also fiddled with the complications, and the last one I had said, let me tell you my complications.
Okay. And then I will share with you the complications I ended up with.
Okay.
Yeah. So tell me yours.
Upper left corner is weather, including temperature, which I have long used my Apple Watch to check. Oh, great. I have a beeping truck.
Yeah. As long as they're not backing up right into your side of the studio. Well,
they're backing up right into the recording.
Yeah.
Seems rude. They didn't even ask.
I'm assuming that it's the interns.
They got the forklift again.
Yeah. They really need to stop taking that. What bothers me is that they drive it through the drive-thru at Taco Bell to get lunch.
Right. Right. And they say that it's legal, that you don't have to have a driver's license for a forklift. I'm saying if you're on the... Anyway.
Anyway, Apple Watch complications.
Right. Interns. Upper left-hand corner, temperature. I am a little bit obsessive about checking the temperature. Mm-hmm. I like always want to know what the frick the temperature is outside. I don't know why. I am sure that this is the little tiny part of me that is OCD, you know, really rearing its head. But I like to know what the temperature is. Mm-hmm. Upper right corner is not my heartbeat, but access to the heart rate app. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you can't actually just put your heart rate there, right? You can only put access to, there's no direct, like constantly having your battery life would probably be shot.
No, you can put the heart rate app in there and it will periodically do a snapshot and then it'll show you what was at that moment in time. So it's not real time.
I like having quick access to that though. Mm-hmm. So I'm using that as more of a quick access than an actual complication. Bottom right is stopwatch, which I use frequently. And bottom left is battery life, which I always wanted on my face, like a nice timepiece, mm-hmm. An automatic timepiece. And then in the middle, I've got activity, which I use. I've got the moon phase, which I have long used on my Apple Watch. I've got the date, which I was never able to actually have. And I like having it. Mm-hmm. And then the last one, here's the thing. It was the last one, which would be in the middle to the left. That is the last one that I set. And it's the one that I fiddled with the most, obviously, because it was the last one I set. And I ended up going for quick access to the Breathe app.
Interesting. All right.
Because I like the Breathe app. I'm not always able to do it when I get the reminder and I found myself not doing it and I want to do it. So I stuck that there. And then that has stayed the same. My watch face has not changed in 2 days. So in other words, I've got two complications that are really more quick access to two apps. The other six are actual information, actual complications. And I'm pretty delighted. Like I'm not pretty delighted. I'm delighted with that.
All right. So, I like what you did with yours.
Okay. Thank you.
Pretty cool. Phew. Yep.
I was worried.
Oh, I know. I totally get it. All right. So here's what I did with mine because I was really trying to make it so it was filled with useful stuff. Mm-hmm. So I have Apple's weather thing in the upper left-hand corner, which is a compromise because it doesn't give me hyperlocal weather. I'm a dark sky guy.
Okay.
And then in the upper right corner, I have the fitness rings.
Okay. Yeah.
Bottom right corner, I have heart monitor, which is a third-party app. And they updated their complications to do the new style. So I can see what my heart rate is. And I have this nice little slider or like a bar thing. And it'll show you where your heart rate falls on that. And then I have the UV index in the bottom left. Then
do you use the UV index? Do you pay attention to that?
I do. I live in Colorado. I have IFT alerts that trigger when the UV index hits 7 and it sends me a notice right to my watch.
And then what do you do with that information?
Then I decide how to dress. Like, okay, so it's bright and the UV index is high. I better wear a hat and I should probably put some sunscreen on.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Okay. So in the center, starting at the 3 o'clock spot, I put the date. Then below, so 6 o'clock spot, I have a world clock and it's showing London right now.
Okay.
And it's,
are you going to keep that? Well, you just went to London.
Yeah. And that's why it's there because I just went to London.
Okay. So are you going to keep it?
Yeah. I'll keep it there.
Is that just because like it reminds you of being in London?
Well, the other value point in it is that when I'm doing the big show on Fridays, I know what the actual time is for them.
All right. Fair enough.
Then at the 9 o'clock spot, I have the Earth globe thing simply because I couldn't figure out what else to put there. Okay. Like seriously, I couldn't come up with anything I wanted to put there. So I just left that. And then at the 12 o'clock spot, I have the walkie talkie app. So what I ended up with was something that has two spots that I don't really need. showing information. And then one spot where I'm using an app that I really didn't want to use, but it looks better on the watch face.
So, and so how many are you actually using then?
So what I'm really using is the, that's weird. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine.
We still got more to do.
I swear to God, I have no idea how that just happened. I'm not even touching a keyboard. That's weird.
That is weird.
Anyhow, so I, the complications.
Oh, hold on. Let me fix that. And it's like it never was.
Great. Okay. So the complications that I'm actually using, are the all of them except the weather in the corners.
Okay.
And
the, how many do you have?
I put a complication in everything. So what is it? Nine?
Which one is this?
I was telling you what I put into the infograph for my testing.
Okay. Now, how many are you using on your actual one?
On my actual one? Hold on. Let me swipe back to that. I have four.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Like an animal.
I have the, I have dark sky. So I have my hyperlocal weather. I have fitness. So that's upper left and upper right corner.
Yeah.
At the bottom of the watch, I have my, my heart rate.
Yeah.
And then in the little, date spot that's in the center of the circle at 3 o'clock, I have the date.
Huh. All right. Fair enough.
And that's it.
And you're happy with that. And you certainly have not been tempted to go back to the infographic one.
Right.
Okay. It's interesting. I really do find, you know, and this is, you know, we're all wired differently. I am in love with the, I'm in love with the infographic face.
And that's awesome. And, you know, maybe I'll use a subset of the infographic face at some point. But what I think is more likely is that Dark Sky will update their complication, and I'll just use that on the utility watch face.
One of the things I like about the fire, have you played with the effecty ones?
Those are so cool.
Well, they're so cool, but like, I don't want them, right? I definitely want the complications. Mm-hmm. What I like about the fire one is how it starts off with blue flames that roll in front of the expanding fire.
Which makes sense because
does it only do that when you first switch to it as opposed to it coming up?
I don't know.
Yeah, it changes. So sometimes the blue is in front of the expanding wave and sometimes not. But that's a nice touch.
Yes. And those aren't CG animation things. They actually filmed practical effects. So it's what you're seeing is video of actual fire. Seriously. Huh. And the water one, it's really water. Yeah.
Who knew?
It's pretty cool.
That is cool. I do like the other infographic one, too. All right. So here's the rather than just continuing to obsess over what is on our wrist.
Wow, my wrist looks really nice.
I am in general loving my Apple Watch Series 4. That certainly hasn't changed since Monday. You know how I said for the first 3 years of Apple Watch, I said that I like my Apple Watch and I don't love it. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to love it. I do. I'm realizing as we speak that is no longer accurate. I love my Apple Watch Series 4.
Okay. Well, that says a lot because you've been stuck at the like it, but don't love it. Well, from the very beginning,
it was, you know, like I want the information, but I would rather have my Zenith on. Mm-hmm. And part of that may be, by the way, the stainless steel. You know, I did get the stainless steel one for the first time, and it feels so much better on my wrist. So I don't know, that could be part of it, but I think most of it is the display. Every time I get any kind of notification, I have to go dismiss something. When I go to enter my passcode, you know, and you have all this additional real estate. It's a meaningful amount of real estate, and Apple is making excellent use of it in general.
They are. And I have to back up for just a second. You enter the passcode on your watch?
Sometimes.
Like an animal?
Yeah, like an animal. If I don't have my iPhone handy, yeah.
I don't even know how you survive.
Well, sometimes I don't keep my iPhone anywhere near my bed, but I charge my Apple Watch next to my bed. Right? Because my iPhone is my alarm clock. And if I didn't have my alarm clock somewhere where I didn't have to get up and turn it off, I would never get out of bed.
Okay. See, up until this moment, I had Chavin's razor in full play.
Yeah.
But it was the fact that you will shut off your alarm as opposed to get up. So
correct.
Okay, it all fits and I get it now.
Yeah. So there you have it. I think Apple is going to have a pretty big hit on its hand. I think Apple does have a pretty big hit on its hand. I think I am seeing people who have not. I have seen people who are not Apple fans by talking about and actually buying Apple Watch Series 4 for their elderly parents because mm-hmm. of the fall detection.
Yes.
And, you know, and this is long before the heart rate stuff is official, because we're waiting on that. We're waiting for the heart rate monitor, per se, the FDA approval for heart rate monitor and the ability to do the EKG. These are coming later.
Right. So at some point before the end of the year, you know, you brought up the fall detection. Mm-hmm. I think we need to do a little PSA to go along okay. with that.
Yeah, please.
First off, fall detection is off by default, unless you have told the health app that you are 65 or older. So if wow. you want to use fall detection, you need to go enable it. And we have a tip on that.
Okay. We're going to have that in the show notes.
Of course, we'll put it in the show notes because we're good like that. Excellent.
We are good like that.
And then the other thing is, if you set up fall detection, you really need to go into the health app and make sure that you have an emergency contact set up there. Because if you take a fall and you don't tell your watch, yeah, never mind, I'm okay, it ultimately sends off a message to the first responders, so police and fire, so that they know to come check on you, and it sends a message to your emergency contact. So you need to make sure all that stuff's set up.
Right.
There you go.
Good. Excellent PSA.
And
so,
yeah, go ahead.
This thing is so lovely on my wrist. I haven't heard anyone complaining about it. Doesn't mean that there aren't complaints. I haven't heard anyone dismissing it, which doesn't mean that there aren't people dismissing it. But between the really interesting to me interest from outside of the Apple fan base in this device because of fall detection, especially for parents, and my own personal enjoyment, I am projecting onto Apple a fairly significant increase in the popularity of Apple Watch. And it was already, you know, it was already the best selling watch in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Apple Watch Series 4 is going to be great for boosting Apple Watch sales beyond what they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm glad I have mine. Even though I'm coming from Series 3 to Series 4, I'm still glad that I did the upgrade.
Yes, that display. I would be surprised if Apple could have as big an impact on my perceptions from Series 4 to Series 5, because I don't expect the display to get any bigger, for instance. I don't expect the bezel to get any smaller in Series 5. You know, maybe they're going to add something, you know, whiz-bangy or something, but
Maybe they could add like a pulse oximeter or something. I don't think that would be difficult for them to add.
Sure. A what? Like I understood what you said and I didn't understand what you said.
Oh, so you know how you can figure out what the oxygen level is in your blood? You put the little thing on your fingertip.
Right.
They could build something in so that they're doing that from the back of the watch.
Right. And that will probably, like, adding additional health related features is probably going to be a fairly significant, you know, making everything faster, of course. Maybe improving battery life or being able to make it thinner while maintaining battery life. But probably the biggest thing that Apple's going to be adding in the future is going to be additional health features. And that's not going to have as significant an impact on my perception of this device as the new display does. So, so I don't expect future versions to be as significantly different in terms of just the joy of having it on your wrist. I would find non-invasive glucose monitoring an absolute must-have.
I know several people that if that was an Apple Watch feature, they would get an Apple Watch. And I know someone that they would actually get rid of their Android phone, buy an iPhone just to have an Apple Watch with non-invasive glucose monitoring.
Yeah, I think that would that's going to be a very big deal. If Apple can bring that to market, it's going to be a very big deal.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Apple Watch Series 4 hit, loving it. Gaze adoringly at my wrist, and I'm not like exaggerating or being hyperbolic or, you know, just trying to be fun. I might be being funny to you, to someone listening. That might be hysterical, but it's true.
I think it's pretty awesome. And I like my Apple Watch Series 4 as well. Giant watch face. Hey, we should probably talk about our first sponsor, which is LinkedIn Jobs.
Yes, LinkedIn Jobs.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Let's say you have a job opening that you need to fill, and you want to find the right person for it.
For instance, managing editor. Still don't have any advice for me?
Nope. Still no advice. Yeah, I was trying to find a nice way to say that. And
So let's say.
And so you can throw out a job listing on all the different job boards that you can find on the internet, and you're going to get this random mix of people, and maybe you'll get lucky, and in all those people, you'll find the right person. Or you could post your job opening on LinkedIn Jobs.
Sure.
Where you have 70% of the U.S. workforce already there, and the people that are looking for jobs through LinkedIn Jobs are looking for something that's a good fit for them and not just anything they can find. So that means you have a higher likelihood of finding the right candidate for the job the first time out, which saves time, which saves money, saves aggravation, and it's just a great thing all the way around. So speaking of saving money, our listeners can save money on their first LinkedIn Jobs posting just because they put up with us. So here's what to do. Hurry to linkedin.com/ACM and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/ACM to get $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/ACM. Terms and conditions apply. And thank you, LinkedIn Jobs, for being our sponsor.
Yes. Thank you very, very, very much to LinkedIn Jobs. As a matter of fact, it's fantastic that they have brought their support to us, and we would like you to take your support to them.
Yeah, they're good people.
Yep, indeed. And so are we.
We are.
Contrary to some rumors.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't make them all happy all the time.
Exactly. All right. So an interesting thing happened this week. Interesting to me. Sir Johnny Ive. You've heard of that guy, right?
Yes. He's the guy that played Captain Picard.
No, that's Patrick Stewart. Very close.
Oh, see, what threw me was the Sir.
Oh, right. And the bald head.
And the bald head.
Although one shaved and one. Anyway, so Sir Johnny Ive, Chief Design Officer of Apple. That's the guy you maybe should be thinking about.
Okay, fine. We'll think about Johnny Ive and in his white cell that they never let him out of. And I feel bad for him. Johnny, we're going to do this great presentation about new Apple Watches and iPhones and chamfered edges, but you have to sit in your white box.
The care with which we approach this.
Blink twice if they're forcing you to say it, Johnny.
So he is the second recipient of the Stephen Hawking Fellowship. Stephen Hawking, the scientist, the astrophysicist.
Mm-hmm.
And
also the actor.
Also the actor. Also on Star Trek.
That's right. He played poker with Mr. Data.
He did, in fact, as himself.
Mm-hmm.
Which was that was such a clever scene, wasn't it? The whole thing was so clever.
It was really good.
It was just so absolutely, absolutely clever. Love that scene. Really, it essentially brings a tear to my eye every time I see it. Right. So that out of the way, though, he was named this recipient. It's an honorary scholarship. Not that Sir Johnny needs a scholarship, but it was given to him in recognition for his contributions to both STEM fields and social discourse.
All right, that's cool. And we don't know how much money he makes. Maybe he does need a scholarship so he can go back and finish school.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's not likely. But here's the interesting thing to me, man. He's a designer. And he got an award for contributions to the STEM fields and social discourse. He's a designer.
Okay, so this is the sort of honor that you would expect to go to a scientist, a mathematician, something like that.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And here's an industrial designer.
Yeah. And that, to me, is a stunning testament to the effect that he has had on the world. You know, I think a lot of us in the Apple community, the Apple customers and Apple fans, fans of Apple's devices. I think that you know, we probably at this point we take a lot of that for granted. Like, on TDO, were we talking about like the George Foreman grill that looked like the iMac?
Yes, that was earlier this week.
And like irons that looked like that were borrowing from iMac design. Lots of different like household appliances that were taking their design cues directly from the iMac, and of course all the computers that tried to directly or indirectly rip off the iMac, and Apple actually successfully beat most of those.
Mm-hmm.
So we might take for granted the effects that Johnny has had, Sir Johnny has had on the wider world. But this is sort of like a testament to the power of what he's done with design. It's really interesting to me that he would win this.
I find it fascinating because he's not a scientist. He's not a mathematician, although these are fields that play directly into the things that he designs.
It's true. Certainly math is a big part of what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm delighted to see it. But, you know, and Professor Hawking, the technical name of the full name of the award that he got is the Professor Hawking Fellowship. And this program committee organizations kind of don't even really quite know what to call it. And we were looking it up, trying to find more information on how it got formed and what their, you know, aims and designs were. And there's not a lot of information out there, but Professor Hawking was involved in establishing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, we found more about theories about why Cambridge didn't get bombed very much in World War II than we did about this organization.
Right. Professor Hawking himself, might as well mention this since we brought it up. He said it was because there was an agreement from the Germans, the Nazis, to not bomb those either Cambridge or Oxford during World War II. And he said that in his own speech related to this particular fellowship. But it turns out that's not necessarily there's a very little evidence supporting that idea.
Yeah, maybe he should have done a little bit of research.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not going to.
Or have his interns do it.
Have his interns do it. I'm not going to start casting stones at Professor Hawking.
Yeah.
The late Professor Hawking.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of bad form. However, so the thing with Sir Johnny Ive scoring this award, I'm wondering, is this something that is going to draw more interest from students into pursuing math and science in general? All right, here's the other side of it. Is this something that's going to draw more interest to this Cambridge group? Like a publicity thing?
No.
Did we forget to oil you again?
Yeah, yes. I doubt that, and I certainly doubt they did it for any kind of publicity reasons. Johnny is beloved in England, where he is from.
He is
from whence he is. I think this is really much more about about his contributions to this area and making technology more accessible to more people and the effect that has on the STEM fields. And that is, to me, interesting.
Yeah. Yep. And it's... So I'm sitting here thinking about this and trying to come up with ideas of other people that could be recipients of this or could have been this year.
Yeah. Could it be Elon Musk next year?
Yeah. Okay. So if it's Elon Musk next year, then I do have to wonder, is this more of a visibility thing?
I doubt it. No, I don't think that's the way Cambridge plays.
And I agree. I'm just tossing that out there because sometimes it's fun to mix it up.
They're already limited. Maybe this way they'll get an endowment from Sir Johnny. I don't know. Maybe that's the play.
Yeah. Well, which school gets the endowment?
Yeah, fair enough. As long as a school does. So maybe. I think this is just an honest reflection of thoughts and not a callous. I mean, I don't have any evidence to support that. That's my gut feeling.
Yeah,
it's an honest reflection of thoughts.
I'm with you. I think this is not about visibility or publicity. This is about bestowing an honor upon Sir Johnny Ive because of the contributions he's made and his general all around awesomeness.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very interesting. You know what else is interesting?
What else is interesting?
Molecule.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So, here's the thing about molecule. People like to breathe.
Yes. I hear this.
And so what molecule has done is developed a air purifier that instead of just being like a series of HEPA filters, like most air purifiers are, this is like science fiction technology where it's breaking apart the various pollutants in the air at the molecular level. So like, you know, there's some little virus microbe thing that can go right through a HEPA filter and keep on traveling or get stuck in a HEPA filter and then start growing through it. So now you're blowing that stuff back out. What happens with your molecule is it grabs that thing and it rips it apart at a molecular level. And now it's literally not a virus anymore because it's been torn apart, which is pretty fracking cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Killing it.
Oh yeah. And Molecule, that they have customers that have said that they were able to breathe through their nose for the first time in 15 years after getting their Molecule air purifier. And the technology, it's been verified by science and tested by real people. And you even have one.
I got two. I got kind of carried away. And the reason I did is because of the wildfires in California. And I figured I'd rather have a couple of these things working before I needed them rather than trying to get them after I needed them. And I can tell you, first of all, they're attractive in terms of the industrial design. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that they are whisper quiet when they're in quiet mode. There are two other modes that are not quiet, but the quiet mode has certainly been enough for me. I have thoroughly enjoyed having them in the house and am like not worried about air in my home. And, I think these things are great. Certainly it's the first air purifier I've really wanted to have.
Okay. That says a lot right there.
Yeah. And getting them and, you know, setting them up and going through the process, being able to control them from my iPhone, getting information, from my iPhone in terms of, matter of fact, let's look at,
well, while you look that up, I have to say that everything you said is backing up why so many people are getting these. It's because they have allergies. They have asthma. They have other environmental conditions that make breathing difficult for them, and their molecule can help.
Yep, they can. And, being able to control everything from my iPhone, being able to look at both the devices that are set up in my home, and I bought these. These were not sent to me by Molecule. Well, they were sent to me by Molecule, but I paid for them. And I used, and I, we're not, we're about to get to this, but I used the ACM coupon to do it.
Oh, well, let me explain how that works. So if you want $75 off your first order, what you need to do is visit molecule.com. That's molecule.com. And then at checkout, use our special discount code ACM. And when you do that, you get $75 off your first order. So that's molecule.com, molecule.com.
And one more thing, I also enjoy the there's a light that is part of the sanitation process, the filtering process.
Let's call it the purification process.
And I have one of these in my bedroom. Through the app, you can set up times in which the goes into dark mode. So I just have the light off for the times that I'm likely to be in bed.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's quite useful. Awesome. So yeah, I am stoked with these two purchases, and am not worried about dealing with forest fire smoke.
That's awesome. Well, and thank you, Molecule, for being our sponsor today.
Okay. Indeed.
So we still have something else we want to talk about, right?
We do. Yeah, we do. So the news came out that Apple is like, what are they avoiding? Sex and violence?
Yeah, and I don't know how much they're avoiding that. It seems to me like it's like they're going for more of the PG level as opposed to the R level.
Well, is it going to be PG-13 or is it going to be PG? And we don't know.
We don't know, but it's not
PG-13 would be a lot easier. R is definitely out, apparently. And the question is this like, and because I've seen some commentary to this effect, is this going to like, you know, kill Apple's video? Like, or, you know, is not going for edgy content going to kill the service?
Yeah, and
before it even launches.
You know, my guess is that with the people that they have lined up to make these shows happen, that's not going to be a problem. I mean, I don't think it is. Okay, here's the deal. If you create a really good story and it doesn't have to rely on sex or extreme violence to draw interest, I mean, people still like it. Here's a perfect example. Did you like Up?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cried like a baby.
Yeah, well, it's because you're human. You're not a replicant. Seriously, Up is a Voight-Kampff test. It has to be.
What does Siri say?
Siri says she doesn't know what that means.
Yeah, so she is failing the Voight-Kampff test for sure.
Yeah.
So, I agree with you. As long as you have if you have a good story and a good show, you don't need the violence. It is easy to let me rephrase that. A path to creating edgy, interesting content is to go directions with sex and violence that traditional TV eschewed for decades. For almost all of its existence.
Sure. And that's been a big draw for a lot of shows.
Yeah. Netflix. I think Netflix has done well with some really edgy, violent stuff and sex for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm not positive on this, but I think you can get some shows with some sexual content on HBO. They have done really well with that, and that's fine. And don't get me. I don't want to see Apple turn away a great show because it's got some sex or violence in it.
Well, okay. So
personally,
let's look at Westworld. Mm-hmm. Excellent show, really well written, very compelling stories.
Mm-hmm.
I think if that had been on Apple, they could have still had it as a very compelling show without as much violence.
But the nudity in Westworld is, I think the nudity would have been a no-no, even though the vast majority of the nudity is not sexually related and it's not even violence related, although right. there is some of both.
Yes.
And I think that the nudity in that show really, really goes right to the heart of treating the robots.
Mm-hmm.
Are they called something else? Why am I drawing a blank?
Hosts.
Hosts. Thank you. Really making the hosts not be human and not be seen as human by the human characters within the show. They use nudity as this very specific social commentary tool.
That's true. Nudity is not gratuitous in Westworld.
Well, there is some gratuitous nudity, but it's not like Game of Thrones, where it seemed like there was they had a booby quotient.
They probably did.
Quota. What am I saying? Quotient. They had a booby quota for each episode.
There might be. A mathematic equation with a quotient for the number of boobies that they expected to have.
Right. And now I've got a siren.
See, it's the Apple standards police. They've come for you. That's just how it works. Or it could be the interns. Again, they've been causing trouble. But I think...
Boy, I'm sorry. It took me so long to get to my mute button. My goodness, that was completely unnecessary.
That's all right. It lets everyone know that you're human too.
So if there was a booby quota in Westworld, it never felt like anything was there for quota. It always, like, I really feel like they use it as part of the unspoken storyline. They wield it as a tool.
Mm-hmm.
A tool to speak to humanity, to make this argument about, you know, this argument that the whole show is about what is human. And I think the show without that would probably not be as good.
You know, I hadn't really thought about the way the nudity was being presented, but I have to give you that one. Yeah. The nudity is a statement as opposed to just a draw.
Right. It is a statement. So, okay. All that said, there is also plenty of room to tell great stories without sex and violence. There are plenty of stories to be told by that. And when we look at, you know, each of the shows that Apple has been signing, there's never been, like, most of them have seemed interesting, not all of them. Most of them have seemed interesting, and not one of them has been like I've thought to myself, oh, that looks interesting, and it looks like it's going to be really, you know, full of sex or really full of violence.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't really been an issue looking at it. So all in all, while I don't necessarily endorse Apple's overall puritanicalness, I don't think it's going to be a problem with them. And I think that there are plenty of great stories that can be told without these two elements that they don't want to. Oh, politics too, right? Aren't they eschewing politics? Right? Isn't it sex, violence, and politics?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Apple,
I don't remember now.
TV.
All right, so while you look that up, sex. I'm going to toss out another show that I think would totally work on Apple's network without any changes at all. And that's Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Sure.
I mean, yes, there's violence. Yes, there's sex.
It's real, but super mild violence.
But but
it's not even. It's violence. Only in the strictest definition of violence.
Right. But do you feel like the stories suffered for the way violence and sex were presented in Next Generation?
I think that they pulled some punches in some areas, and that some things probably should have been would have been a lot more accurate if they'd been more violent. But I don't think that the show per se suffered. All right. So here's an LA rag. LA.biz says it's sex, violence, and profanity. The Independent says sex, violence, and politics.
Maybe saying profanity was more of a statement on politics.
No, I think they're like political storylines.
So no West Wing for Apple.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And West Wing was a great show. So I guess the Wall Street Journal was the originator of the story, politics, and risque storylines. Oh, I've got to apparently sign in.
But they're not afraid to have really interesting storylines, like the Are You Sleeping?
They said executives made clear they didn't want shows that venture into religious subjects or politics.
Okay, so Are You Sleeping? That has the potential to be a very at least psychologically edgy show, because that's going to be the story of a woman that is dealing with the aftermath of her father being, I can't remember if it's murdered or being accused of murder. And then years later, it becomes the topic of another show.
That's just it. You can have a story be about murder without it being violent. Mm-hmm. So there are ways to tell stories about violence without actually having violence in the story. So is Apple artificially hamstringing themselves? Maybe. Is it going to doom the service? No. What's going to make or break the service is, are the stories compelling?
I agree. Yep. If they can give us compelling stories, then people are going to watch them because they're compelling stories.
Here's a point from the Wall Street Journal, quoting, and graphic content certainly isn't the only path to success in TV and streaming. There's little or none in some of Netflix's hits, such as Stranger Things, and in some popular broadcast TV shows, such as The Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm. True. I mean, you can also say, but look at these shows that are violent or that do have sexual content or that do have politics, like House of Cards. It's a little bit about politics.
A little bit. Yep.
Right. There was the fantastic documentary on Scientology that Leah. Leah Remini, right? Maybe. Scientology in the Aftermath. The woman who was on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, right. Yep.
Right. And that, you know, that's about religion. And I think that was probably an important show, mm-hmm. an important documentary. And, you know, so I don't know. It's not going to hurt Apple. I wish they wouldn't take too puritanical a path. But if they want to take it, I'm sure that they can still have tremendous success with it. And there are plenty of stories to be told, plenty of good stories to be told without sex or violence.
Yeah. I'm not too worried. I don't think Apple's creating a Disney Channel where it's just this candy-coated fluff story machine.
No, I wonder, I'm going to be interested to see what Ronald Moore's show is going to be like.
Yeah. I mean that, yes, because that's a father and daughter who end up pulled from Earth and land in the middle of interplanetary war.
Right. So how do you do that without violence?
Well, my guess is that there's a threshold politics. For violence.
And probably politics too.
Yeah. So, well, maybe if a show has politics in it, as opposed to being specifically about politics.
Well, I mean, like one of the things that science fiction has been really good at is examining current political and social issues by recasting them in a futuristic different setting. Mm-hmm. And I mean, for instance, speaking of Star Trek, look at Let This Be. I can never remember the name of this episode. It's like my favorite episode, Star Trek. Let This Be Your Last Battlefield, the half black, half white one with the Riddler.
Yes.
Right.
Frank Grisham.
The Riddler. That show, that was an episode about politics. Mm-hmm. It's about racism. It was about racism. And that was a great episode to have on TV. So, like, would that episode not cut it under Apple's guidelines?
I would like to think it would be okay. If not, okay, now we've got a problem because you're having to strip out from many potential stories key elements.
Yeah, especially, like I said, for sci-fi. Sci-fi has so long been... has so often examined today's issues by looking at them through, you know, a fantastical lens, a speculative lens of the future.
Right.
That's, you know, it's part and parcel with sci-fi. So I don't know. I'm actually thinking that what's going to happen is that it's not going to be as puritanical as we might be thinking right now.
I'm with you. I think that's how it's going to play out. Apple has guidelines, and we can have sexuality and violence and politics to a degree in that framework that Apple has created.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're kind of out of time.
Yeah, I know we are.
Yeah.
I'm giving you space to hit that.
Hit that and say, and that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And thanks for listening.
See here, I believe that our content was written by the good people at the Mac Observer, and that our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO, and that's all for this week.
And hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. Kind of trounced all over the button pushing.
I like your wrists.